I mean, I can't assume it'd be a gun. How many years ago was that?
Oh, no. Okay, guys, let's guess. Are you trying to figure out when guns were invented? And was there a go?
Yes,
okay.
Guns, like 1910?
Hello and welcome to episode number 519 of the podcast. I'm your host, Sonks McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy. And we're committed to educating you on things that entertain but do not matter.
To find out more about these pedagogic pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Podcast, and we're on Twitter at Podcast Pod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be talking the nose of teachers.
But before we do that, as you know, we launched the first of two live shows in a mere 10 days in honor of 10 years of The Podcast. Now, we still have room at the end for our Austin show on September 2nd. Bonus, if you're flying solo to the show, or maybe you've wanted to come, but you didn't want to come alone, or maybe your loved ones are lame, Indy has planned a delightful solo ticket holders free meetup just for you. You can go to knoxandjamie.com/RSVPATX, which gets you more details. Now, if you want to be in the room where it happened, use code BIRTHDAY to save 25% on tickets. Plus, check our socials on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Central for a giveaway of opened up seats. Of course, some of you live in other countries and Alaska, and maybe you can't make it to Texas. So why not watch the show from your home? That's a great idea. Thank you. I love that idea. Invite over your friends who also love the podcast and make a party of it. You already have a cousin's outdoor summer wedding on September 2nd? No worries. The live stream will have a replay window of one full week, so you can plan your podcast party for Labor Day or on Wednesday when we're known for podcasting. If you use code CHAD, C-H-A-D, G-P-T, you can save 31%. On your live stream ticket. Note, the live stream ticket discount code only works through end of day on Friday, September 1st, and then the price goes up. Just head to knoxandjamie.com/live for all the details on being with us in person, RSVPing for our solo meetup, or watching the live stream at home. The link is in the show notes.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right, Jamie, it's time to talk the nose of teaching. I like that we've gathered here to honor one of our favorite groups, one of my favorite groups for sure. And we're going to do that with the nose episode. In the content meeting, there was a lot of like, is this the best way to honor teachers by talking about how they're bad at teaching? And it felt a little bit like a split consensus there.
It did. We got a lot of teachers who actually talked a lot of S word about students and parents. And so I think it was a nice, beautiful balance. Now, why do you think we have, for a long time, we had a reputation that we were not pro teacher. Where do you think that came from?
I don't know. I have to assume it's you. I have to assume that it's you. Yeah.
So I love teachers. Let me go on the record. I love teachers. Mrs. Adams, Mrs. Glover, Dr. Patty Owen Smith. These are women who genuinely like changed me, changed how I saw myself, and changed the course of my life so I could be a pop culture podcaster. I love them so much. They would be so proud of me if two of them weren't already dead. It's fine. It's fine. They're proud of me in heaven.
You know, when I, because I try to think about like the platonic ideal of teaching, like in my life, like when I think of teacher, who comes, like, what's the image I project? And I think it's Mr. Lambert. It was my AP language class.
Aww.
He was really cool. Like, he set cool kid style during class. I was like, look at this freaking guy. He's not sitting in the chair the right way. He's sitting there like cool kid, like Zach Morris or something. And he had us over for dinner. Like, our midterm was like a Van Gogh painting. And he was like, write what you think this is about. And then halfway through, he was like, hold the phone. What if I told you this is the last thing Van Gogh did before he killed himself? Now write about what you think this is about. And my head was blown. I was like, this is the greatest teacher ever. And I just really loved him. Like he was my favorite.
No pun intended. Your head was blown. It's fine.
Did Van Gogh puff?
No.
You don't know how he killed himself, but were just like,
I mean, I can't assume it'd be a gun. How many years ago was that?
Oh, no. Okay, guys, let's guess. Are you trying to figure out when guns were invented? And was Van Gogh?
Yes. Okay. Guns, like 1910? No. No. Wait, America, I know.
The Civil War would have, like, what do you, was it pool noodles?
In the Patriot, they had guns. Did they? Did they have guns in the Patriot or just, they did not have guns in Braveheart.
Okay.
Did they? I don't
know. I feel like they, no, I don't know if they did.
I know, they had guns in like the Civil War and then I don't know. No, he talks about guns in Hamilton. So they definitely had guns in the Revolutionary War.
You were still on the fence about that one.
I was still on the fence. Yeah, okay, like the Patriot. Yeah. I was like, okay, so I don't know about things that happened before that. And so where they would use guns. How did he die? How did he take his own life?
It's going to be hilarious if he blew his head off with, I mean, it's not going to be hilarious.
No, it's not.
It's not. Full stop. Okay.
Full stop.
It's not hilarious. It would just be, some people would say it's ironic if he
As
did.
A reminder, humor is cathartic for sad situations.
God, he shot himself in the head. You know why? I like Mr.
This
Lambert.
This was my fault. I shouldn't have said no pun intended, but I know they would have come in and been like, it blew your head, it blew your mind, it blew your...
I like Mr. Lambert because he had a class playlist. He was like, everyone give me like your favorite song. You feel like it describes who you are. And for some godforsaken reason, I chose a POD song and he let me include it. And he still took me seriously. He still made eye contact with me.
He had a little mix CD. He had a little mix CD.
Little playlist.
I love that. What a good guy.
My friend Scott did the P. Diddy song from Godzilla. Yeah, I think it was like, da-na-na, da-na-na. It was, and if you know Scott, it makes a lot of sense.
I've met Scott, and that makes a lot of sense.
Mr. Lambert is just a gem of a person.
Oh, I love that. Did you like your baseball teacher? Was that person
Did I like my baseball teacher is the question I'm going to consider right now. I think I did, Jamie. I think I did.
Because you were into baseball. Like, you were going to be a baseball player. So I assumed, because it's like these two teachers were in, like it's a mixtape battle for your love and your destiny and your eternity.
Yeah, and no one correct her that it's usually called a baseball coach. I like baseball teacher. Normalize. Isn't he doing the same thing, right?
He's teaching you baseball and how to be better. He's educating you.
I like. Let's normalize athletic coaches being called athletic teachers.
But why do baseball coaches wear the uniform when none of the other sport coaches do?
I appreciate the commitment to the bit, and I want like a San Antonio Spurs coach, Greg Popovich. I want to see Greg Popovich. And did you correct me, Aaron?
Did she just say it right there? You were trying to think of it, and I was going to help you.
How does she
no, sorry, that was aggressive. I was proud. I was happy. No, okay, I was happy you were correcting me. Okay. That was a good thing.
I wasn't trying to overstep my boundaries.
No boundaries. Probably some boundaries. But I would like to see Greg Popovich.
I personally have a few.
I would like to second that. I have some myself as well. Any personal information. But yeah, Jamie, just that was the most long-winded way to agree with you. And aww, I added really no value to what
we
you
did
said.
It.
So my apologies. Good. We asked on social for the no's of teachers. But before we get to all those great no's on social media, I would like to ask you, Jamie, do you have a personal no of teaching?
I do. And I wouldn't normally put a name to it, but her name was Mrs. Stanford, my first grade teacher. She said, let's talk about all the ways she was a no. She said I had a hearing problem and I had to see an audiologist four times my first grade year. She could not adequately explain to me why Jane's name wasn't Janie. All I asked was, why isn't Janie?
Okay.
My mom's name is Jan. Mom, Jamie. Why isn't it Janie? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Reasonable question for a child to ask a teacher.
Right. FYI, that's not education. She just said, there's not an I. She just said, there's not an I. And I was like, well, you're not educating me. Okay, but thanks for nothing.
I mean, I think she is. I don't
stop
see
it.
Any.
Get up. Instead of letting me get extra books from the library, she made me read her. Because I could read really fast, even though I didn't always read the words correctly.
Right.
But I could read really fast, and she wouldn't let me get extra books from the library, even though the librarian said I could have extra books. So she would make me read her teacher's HR manual that she kept in her desk when I read all the stuff during reading time. And I was six, by the way, okay? And then she taped my hands to try to get me to hold my pencil, quote, correctly. Mm-hmm. And then she failed me in writing, which hello, I can't hold my pen like I want. And then my mother hated her. And my mom is a nurturing, caring Enneagram 2 who loves or pretends to love everyone. And she hated her. And at the playground, she wouldn't let me dig holes, which is fair. You can't just dig holes in a playground. Yeah. But she wanted me to play house with the girls in the little underneath the slide. And I wanted to play bank. And she told me girls don't play bank.
Okay. God, there's so much there. The fact that the girls got to play house under a slide like Harry Potter lived in a house. That's sad. That's, right. That's a commentary. That's right. The fact that this perpetuation of you digging holes, what's going on there? Psychologists listening, can you help us understand what Jamie's...
I think I was trying to verify if hell was real. And I just was like, if I can find it, then I'll know.
I don't see a lot of issues with your teacher just because I feel like that librarian was a little out of sorts. She needs to respect chain of command. And if the teacher says no books, then the librarian doesn't get to supersede that, I don't think, for a six-year-old. And in her defense... You said you read really fast, but you don't always get the words right. I don't think that's reading. That's just kind of guessing. So I don't know that that you were justified in saying
I'm
I would
sorry.
Like to read.
Are you? I'm sorry. That appears to be a plank in your eye in this recording because you said Chloe was pronounced like Shlo. So right. I don't know that you get to judge me.
I'm not out here saying I need to be in charge of more name pronunciations, though. That would be
I'm
the
just
difference.
Saying if I what's the difference if her name is Jan or Janie or Jane? It doesn't make a difference.
Chloe
in the,
or Shloey.
Do you
it's
think
the same
Jane?
Principle.
Do you think the spot situation is different because I pronounced her name in my head as Janie? I don't think it changed.
I like that your old is showing because you're referencing See Dick and Jane Run and See Dick and Jane Spot.
Listen,
as like that's
I
how
am.
I remember
I'm proud
on the Mayflower
80s for 80s elementary school forever. How dare you?
Miles Standish taught me phonics.
Stop it. Okay, what's your no?
My no is gonna be I've got two little baby ones. It's teachers who start the year cool. They're like, I'm a cool teacher, you're gonna love this class, I'm awesome, and then they slowly turn into like General Norman Schwarzkopf, and they get harder and harder and like edgier and meaner and nastier. And I always feel like that's an error because you start off like Norman Schwarzkopf and then you get cool. You turn into Tina Fey. You don't start as Tina Fey and go the opposite direction. You can always ease up a little bit, but you can't get more hardcore with your discipline because that's just like disorienting for the kids.
Do you think it's that summer shine and the teachers are like, oh, I'm so rested and I was off and I'm just easy breezy. But then they remember it takes them like a couple weeks to get back in the swing of things of going, oh, children are awful.
I hate kids. If I was a teacher, I would do that, to be clear. That's exactly what I would do.
I would as well.
And then the other one, this isn't about teachers. This is about what teachers are asked to do. The teachers who are tasked with 90-minute class periods. Aaron, I don't know if you guys have this, but like into the middle school area, one of the schools our kids go to, they're like, it's kind of like block scheduling and you have 90 minutes of a class.
I
think that's too long to ask people.
That is way too long. They do like 45-minute ones here.
Yeah, that's what our other school does, and I like that because I just think like you know what else like is 90 minutes like a movie, and that has a lot of people working on that, you know, actors, directors, craft service people. To ask this teacher to do that every day, I just think that's irrational.
Especially in an attention deficit economy like we have now, there's no way. There's no way. I would have walked around and walked out. Like I would have wandered around and it would have been like
you got one kid asking you why isn't Jane Janie and you're like, I don't know. I didn't ask. I don't know authorial intent. I'm trying to teach this class.
I know.
Just ridiculous. Okay. Do you wanna move to some of these teacher knows?
Well, can I share one anonymous with you real quick? This anonymous said, I used to teach first grade in Greenville, South Carolina, and I was trying to help my students memorize the mayor's name during social studies, whose name was Knox White.
Okay.
And so I would ask them so that we get in the rhythm of every time that I ask, who's the mayor? They'd be like, Knox White. But I taught them instead that the mayor's name was Knox McCoy. And so every time the first graders would chant.
She did that on purpose? She was just rewriting history?
She said, I'm just a little podcast listener, and it was fresh on my mind. And so I just said, not. And so I'd be like, who's the mayor? And they'd be like, Knox McCoy. And she said, I didn't realize it until the next week's episode. And I had to go back and tell them, hey, we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
And the mayor's name is not McCoy. It's White. So
I'm really glad my name's not Knox White because that feels like big white supremacy energy.
That's double white.
It's too much.
Knox is already pretty white, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, first Nat citing there that we're in the battle of the, what was the boring Lord of the Rings movie where they fought the orcs for like the whole time?
The two towers.
That's what we got up here in the podcast office because y'all are fighting early now. Last time it was The More You Know, but now like we're in the middle of the episode. So Good luck
to both of you. It's tough out here. Our first listener comment comes from Christy Brokaw, who says, does anyone remember in the 80s when on your birthday, the teacher would spank you in front of the class? You know, one little swat for every year of your life, plus one to grow on. Is this the origin of Gen X and elder millennial trauma? I also remember when the nice teacher started letting you choose between birthday spankings and birthday hugs.
Oh, okay. Aaron, do you remember that? Did that happen to you?
We were at the point where it was disciplinary spanking. There was no birthday spanking.
Okay. You were at the intersection of like, hey, you're spanking. Is that, should we be doing that? Or should we kind of phase that out?
It was like, is this still okay? Probably not. But Mr. Shades was still doing the spanking.
Did you have like a designated spanker? Like, this is the guy? This
was
is
the vice executioner? Principal. He was giant. He was absolutely giant man with a very red face. And his name was Mr. Shades.
You want to know my spicy take? I don't think big man, not a big spank. I think you got to watch out for the little ladies with the firm hands. That's what you got to watch out for.
Yeah, that's who paddled me. Listen, I got paddled like, I think, 7 times in elementary school.
Right. But more books, please.
Listen, I made a quick list of 3 of them. I was paddled for yelling the word cuff backwards at Miss Cummings' class because Mean Joe Green told me to do it.
Right.
And I was paddled going to the bathroom, and then I just went to the library instead. Like, I just kept going,
I got paddled
for that.
There's
got
to be an unauthorized hole.
Listen,
I dug.
I was paddled for not napping in nap time in kindergarten, and then made to churn butter in the commons area while other kids napped because I was like refusing to take a nap.
Churn butter,
Jamie. Well, I'm trying to help you. Okay, you're telling.
I only had a churn butter that week because we had gone on a field trip to a farm, and so they had taught us how to shake the mason jar to make butter. Is that how you make butter? I remember that. I mean, I don't think that's how Land O'Lakes makes butter, but I'm just saying that's
how we... You
don't
know that. You can't
say that. What did they do with your butter?
We took it home, but you had to shake it for
I'm talking your disciplinary butter.
Yeah.
Oh, I took it home.
Punishment butter?
But it was so after later I got on, paddled. It was butter. After I got paddled. So I got paddled, and then I had to shake. Because she was like, you can't stay in here. You're too loud. So I had to be in the commons, and she just kept an eye on me from the classroom. I was in there by myself.
I don't think not napping is a paddleable offense.
I don't either.
Well, in backwoods Alabama in the 80s, it for sure was. Yeah.
That's crazy, man. That is like legit crazy. I don't know if I'm Nelson or Mandela affecting myself, but I remember this. And the only reason it's not
paddles.
Like a trauma memory for me is my birthday was always on Christmas break. So I never like got to experience it in school. So otherwise, if this had happened to me, I would have never forgotten it. But I have a memory of this where there were like birthday paddles, but like in a fun way. And I remember as a kid being like, I don't know about this. This feels weird and strange to me.
Really? I would have been like, this is exciting. I don't think I would have questioned it. And I'm not proud of that. I'm not proud of it at all. Okay, up next we have Rebecca, PH31, who said, I am a pre-K teacher, and as we say, there's never a dull day in pre-K. My first year teaching, I had a girl knock over the goldfish bowl, causing the fish to fall on the floor. I guess she panicked and stomped it to death, then threatened the other girls with her not to tell what happened. It wasn't until later, when my instructional assistant found scales on the ground, that we even knew that Donut Von Wigglebottom was dead.
Okay, I know we're going to get past
it. Let's go to the most important thing.
Well, I want to respect Donut Von Wigglebottom because, like, we're going to talk about all these other issues, but that's a great fish name. Sounds like a rascally baron in the First World War. So I just wanted to, like, honor that.
You think that's the best name? It's not Goldie Hawn.
That's a good name. That's a good one, too. That's a good one.
I like Goldie Hawn. I like Sardine, maybe, like a new identity.
You like the name a Sardine? For the goldfish in class? I'm not against it. I'm just clarifying.
I know. I like Sardine and I like Slim Shady. Those were my list of names that I made.
I don't hate any of those. I think those are all great.
Those are good.
I think obviously we've got an issue here. You know, Rebecca PH, this is a bit of a situation to unpack. And I don't want to victim blame, but I do think Rebecca PH, if there's a goldfish bowl in pre-K class that's close enough to be knocked over, I think that's kind of entrapment, honestly, because you're just asking for the goldfish bowl to be knocked over if it's reachable by kids.
Because I would think every little four-year-old wants to hold the fish and touch the fish.
If it's reachable, it's getting hit. It's getting struck. So the real thing I just want to talk about is, if you're the teacher, how do you handle this? Like, how do you go forward seeing the scales on the ground, knowing what's happened, and knowing that Goldie Hawn or Sardine is gone?
New fish. Goldie Hawn, the sequel, Electric Boogaloo.
Like, okay, so you're like, there's a killer in our midst, but we're not going to even ruminate on
it. Well, and what I would do is if I was Rebecca, if I was a teacher, I'd be like, look, Donut's back to life and now wants vengeance. And
that keeps
that little girl in line.
I like that. See, I would do like, let's do true crime day, you know, and teach the kids about procedurals and method. They can look for clues, you know. You found the scales, yeah, but you can let someone else, like maybe Liam can find them and be like, oh my gosh, we have a lead or whatever. I think the only problem with this is if it's at like a religious school and you're like trying to figure out why did Goldie Hawn die, they're probably gonna be like, the official's probably gay, so God smite it. And like, that'll be the end of that mystery. But I think if it's not,
it was God's will. School, it was God's will.
God needed it for something better to happen.
Do you think this little 4-year-old grew up to be a member of the House of Representatives? Because it felt like maybe she did.
Definitely pledged to fraternity at a state school. I know that 100%.
Yeah.
I just think you have to have a funeral ceremony, and who you think did like the pesticide. I think you have to give her the eulogy duty and see how she does she crack, or does she admit to what she did, make the accomplices write the obituary. I think you'll get to know a lot about those kids.
Listen, violence against animals is like an early sign of it's not going to be great. Do you know?
Yeah.
What I mean?
but violence against animals because you're trying to cover up a crime, is that okay? I'm not saying it is.
I don't think that's better. I think that
you're reacting
worse.
Like I'm saying it's okay. I'm just asking the question. Is it okay?
It's fair. Okay, up next we have Casey Ford 77, who said, when I was student teaching in high school English, a student gave my mentor teacher a hand-sewn pillow. Sweet, right? And then proceeded to tell her it was stuffed with the student's own hair.
Ooh. Okay. Oh. It's strange, right? This is a strange thing, but let me just ask the unpopular question. What does it matter what it's stuffed with?
Oh, you know? It matters. It does.
But what?
That's DNA.
What if you didn't know?
That's used in anything that can be used as evidence in a criminal court should not be stuffed inside a pillow.
I mean, a lot of things can be used as criminal evidence, you know.
I think none of them should be inside a pillow. Polyfill for life or duck feathers.
I think the Victorians, they would call this very reasonable. This is very normal for the Victorians. Like even after the Civil War, women would write Robert E. Lee and be like, hey, can you send me some of that hair? Please enclose some of that hair, a lock of that hair, because you can't spell lock without taking the L, Robert E. Lee, you know, but he would. Like, he would definitely send hair. Like, this is just normal for people.
So do you think that in this situation that Casey Ford should have been like, hey, let me lean in close. Uh-huh. Don't tell people. It can be filled with your hair.
Yeah.
But don't tell them it's filled with your hair.
Okay. This is a great question. What's worse? Being upfront, be like, hey, here's a pillow. It's great. My blood, sweat, and tears have gone into this. And also my hair. Or is it better to be like, here's a pillow, 6 months later, you know, your dog gets it, shreds it, and all this hair starts spilling out, which is a worse situation.
Okay, that does sound worse, actually. And that's not great. You know, we had an anonymous person, a teacher, send a copy of a letter that she was sent by a student. And this is what it said. It said, you are my favorite teacher because you are so fun and make Spanish class enjoyable. Everyone loves having you as a teacher. And I look forward to Spanish class every day. I admire your patience in teaching us. You always make sure everyone in the class is comfortable and safe. In parentheses, skinny jeans are out of style now.
Wow. That's the best rapid and pretty I've ever heard.
Oh, I'm just saying, like, we need to teach kids what is appropriate to say and what is not appropriate to say. That's what I'm saying. Like,
no, but you know what, though? For this generation, they're going to hit you with the big, like, insult stick. I'd rather it be – the only note I would say is, like, put that in the middle after the comfortable and safe part. And then like be like, hey, skinny jeans are out of style. And then be like, but again, love your work. Love what you do. Love the vibe. Temperature in the classroom
is great. It's still so brutal because she's probably thinking back about all the times she wore skinny jeans. And it's not a good look. So unfortunately.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their Manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. no time, but I do love having pretty nails. And it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their mani and pedi systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Mani system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame, because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code PODCAST at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/popcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/popcastpod. Okay, up next we have Heather Patridge, who said, my fifth grade teacher played the O.J. Simpson trial the entire year. She would scream at the TV periodically. She cried with joy the day he was acquitted and said, that's my boy. To be fair, I was in college and we watched it. I had one teacher, like every time we were in class, it would just be on silent in the back. Like, so I get it.
Listen, I have no issues with this because...
Yeah.
In fifth grade, I don't even know when you learn when the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell, but eventually you got to learn that. And if that's what you're slated to learn in fifth grade, what's more important, learning that or watching this trial that's going to change American life for the next, it's still changing American life. We have true crime, not because of this, but it helped perpetuate it.
Oh, yeah.
The Kardashians, reality TV, David Schwimmer yelling juice, you know, like it's just, this was a big deal. And
it was a big deal.
I didn't get to watch it. We had it, I was in middle school And then when they read the verdict, it was in the hallway and everyone went bananas. And I was like, loud noises. Don't know how to, I don't know how I think about this, you know? So it was wild.
Listen, I watched when I was in elementary school, because I am so old, I watched the Challenger space shuttle explode in Mrs. Nail's class. And then I realized I asked one too many questions about how they died. Did they feel it?
The explosion?
I kept asking her, and Ms. Nail was like, don't ask any questions. We're sad right now. And so then when I got on the bus, I asked Mr. Hollis, if their bodies exploded, can they still go to heaven? And if not, where are they? And he also asked me not to ask any more questions, that it was a sad day. That's question. What I figured out. I did not understand feelings and how to process them.
No, I think you were trying to process them. No one wanted to engage with you. That's what I'm hearing.
I know, and those are fair questions. I think it's not weird for a second grader to go, hey, did they feel it when that just happened?
Look, this is like at my first disciple now, when the youth pastor was there and he's trying to do the call, like to the altar call for salvation. And I was like, great, great, great. Really quick, before you like get into the thing, because I know it's going and you do a great job. Is the Antichrist going to have a choice? Or is it just like, boom, you're the Antichrist? And he was just like, we're doing something here and we're not talking about
the Antichrist. We're on the Roman road right now. Please stay on the Roman road.
Shouldn't we be talking about that? Shouldn't more people be talking about that?
I think it's a fair question. Okay, up next we have Thayer Dan, who said, I had been teaching for maybe 2 weeks when I was asked to sub for a sixth grade math class. I'd been there less than 10 minutes when this kid comes up. His parents, everyone around him, called him Bubba. He asked to go to the bathroom. I gave him the pass and all's well. After about 10 minutes, I noticed he had not returned. I texted the principal to let him know. He said to give him 5 more minutes and then go look for him. Bubba returned about 3 minutes later, and I innocently asked him, where were you? 15 minutes was a long time to just be going to the bathroom. And he looked me dead in the face and said, big ma'am, gotta take a big poop. I've never commented on a bathroom trip ever since.
First of all, I just want to say I love the communication here with Thayer Dan. You know, he's subbing, so he's in a new place. Doesn't know Bubba, wants to respect the hierarchy and the bathroom vibes, you know, wants to be active with that diligence, like not passive. And he texts the principal, and kudos to the principal for texting right back and being like, hey, great text. Let me tell you about pooping windows here at Lone Star Elementary or whatever. I think this is a victory for all of them, especially Bubba too, for owning his pooping time.
Yeah, listen, but I think I own that, like, hey, sometimes I got to stay in there a little longer, or sometimes it's hard to get it out and I got to like think through some stuff. So I got to get inspired. I'm not inspired.
Got to go ask some teachers what happens to exploded bodies in heaven, you know? Listen, are they cool or do they get reassembled?
My favorite stories on this post were the ones where kids said weird things. My favorite was an anonymous who she teaches first grade in New England. And she said the local children's museum brought some reptiles for the kids to learn about, meet, and interact with. The museum woman was holding a bearded dragon and it was crawling up her shoulders towards her neck. A student asked, why is the lizard hold her like that? And the woman said, oh, he just likes my body heat. Remember, they're cold-blooded. And one of the first graders with glasses just goes, want to feel my heat? And he says it and puts his hands on her arm.
Okay.
And she just says, wow, you are warm, and quickly moves to the other side of the room.
What's true is true, man. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
That's right.
I'd be remiss if I feel like we have to acknowledge that there are some different gender norms in regards to pooping, you know?
What do you mean?
Because I think most men, I think, ascribe to the minute to year ratio of pooping. Like the idea, the belief, the theology of that is that you're legitimately allowed to be gone pooping for the same amount of minutes that you are years old. Okay.
What?
So for Bubba, he was, I think he was 12. Did he say sixth grade?
Sixth grade,
you know,
yeah.
15 overshot it a little bit, but I don't know, you know, maybe it was a longer route there and back. But I think like it's that pooping window was realistic for
so
him.
You can poop for 40 minutes.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying I do this. Largely this is something people do from time to time. They're not pooping the whole time, but it's just, I'm going to sit in here. I'm going to get on some reels. I'm going to read some books, whatever. I'm just saying that's what it is.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Okay, I'm going to take this next one, Jamie, because this was a long, winding story. And at many different off-ramps, I had issues and questions, and I was hoping you could help shed some light on what's going on
here,
so we could like group think this together. This is Abigail Buxa. And she says, I studied abroad in Austria for a semester in college, and our whole group went to a little mountain village for a first weekend trip. One of our planned excursions was to a thermal spa. So we went, swam around, and then, for cultural immersion's sake, decided to split guys and girls and take turns venturing into the rooftop nudist zone.
What?
Okay. So Austria, mountain village, thermal spa, rooftop nudist zone. Okay. That's the order of operations here. Okay. Makes a lot of sense so far. Most of the girls at our conservative Christian college didn't love seeing old men in the nude. I would say probably most girls everywhere.
Listen, that's Abigail's problem. Nobody wants to see older men in the nude.
Yeah. You know what? You know how many YMCAs I've been to where old men just change, and they don't just change. They luxuriate in their nudity. They put their butthole, and I mean butthole, on every surface in that
I know, and they think everybody wants a piece of that hairiness, and nobody does.
I don't think that's what it is, Jamie, to be honest with you. I think it's just I've lived long enough. I'm going to do and swing this thing around and spread this thing around, and I'm going to put it everywhere I want to.
I think it is. I think it has to do with war. If they went to the Vietnam, I think my dad would do that. He's like, I served in Vietnam. I get to be naked whenever I want.
Right. I'm not going to put that on all Vietnam veterans. Another fly swat, just so you know. But right. I feel like we're in the same ballpark, though. I feel like that's fair enough. So the girls decided to head back down after a few very uncomfortable minutes in the sauna, while two of my friends and I stayed up a bit longer to try the hot tub. While we were showering off, we were laughing about how wild this experience was until one of my friends made eye contact with our 50 to 60-year-old professor. He had made his way upstairs, thinking that all the girls in the group had left, and unfortunately ran right into the three of his students who could not have been more exposed. Okay, there's a postscript, which we'll get to in a second. Is everyone naked here? Because that's not how I originally read this, like, the first five times.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's naked. They're on the rooftop. It's the nudist zone. There's a hot tub there. There's a sauna. Listen, you've never been to a Korean spa, apparently. You're always nude the whole time. You're not allowed to be clothed in these spaces.
Have you been to a Korean spa?
No, I won't do it. I gotta keep my towel.
You got very judgy all of a sudden. You got world traveler.
Aaron, you've been in a naked spa, though.
No.
No?
No.
Not spa.
That is callback to boundaries, probably, I would say.
Oh, I thought that where she braided your hair was
no,
naked.
It was not. I was not naked.
No, Aaron no. wasn't, but she was. The other person
no,
was
No, Sebastiana was not naked.
Her name was Sebastiana. That's
she
a
was
name.
Just very attentive to my massage needs.
But I will say that Aaron and I, no one has pursued us harder to go to a Korean spa than Sarah Stewart Holland of Pantsuit Politics.
She is like one step away from just booking our tickets to Korea, like, and making us go.
Or to just go to Dallas, to the Korean spa in Dallas.
Is it about the like cultural richness of it, or is she about the nudity?
I think she's about the nudity. Yeah.
She's like, you guys just got to get nude. You just got to get
she's
nude.
She's like, you're restrained. You've not. And I'm like, no, I've gone to therapy, so I'm good. But she's like, you need to be naked. And I'm like,
you're like, dog, I didn't fight in Vietnam. I don't get that right. I don't have that privilege.
I've not gone to war. What are you talking about?
So everybody's nude here. That changes the tenor of this.
Because the professor is also nude with his students. But he doesn't know he's going to be with his students.
I mean, come on, right. Does he? Because he gave it like a heart. So I'll read the rest. Thankfully, we never discussed this incident with Walter, parentheses, who was an absolutely kind and wonderful professor and very quickly averted his eyes after seeing us. I don't know if this parentheses is enough to validate this.
It's not. And it's because she calls him Walter.
Exactly.
That's it. There's no way. I just told you, Dr. Patty Owen Smith, I didn't call her Patty. I house sat for her. I slept in her bed and took care of her dog, and I still called her Dr. Owen Smith. I did not call her Patty. That's crazy.
If I looked at like the version history of this comment that she had left, there probably was a previous version that said, never discuss this incident with my elder lover, Walter. You know, but she edited it out.
But she's not supposed to say that because it's a conservative Christian college. You're not allowed to say that. Although I would argue when you say conservative Christian college, it's more likely that you were having some sort of sexual relations with someone you shouldn't have. And I say that as the professor, not as her.
I think 50 to 60-year-old professor is a huge range. I know it's just 10 years, but I'm seeing different people when I think of 50 and then when I think of 60. Do you know what I mean?
50 is like Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
60 is like Bob Barker.
It's like Wilford Brimley. And I just need to know what I'm thinking of right here. I don't know that the guy like was on his phone, looked up, and suddenly he's on the nudist level and his students are there.
Right.
From 30 seconds ago. I just have a lot of issue. I don't know if Abigail Bucks, if she's learning in this moment that this was probably like a set up sneaky situation. Her last line, she says, okay, very quickly averted his eyes for seeing us, comma, but we did end up sharing some pasta that night.
You think
is that a euphemism?
It is
that
100%. A euphemism? Yeah.
Pasta. It's like parentheses wet macaroni noises with Walter.
Yeah, because pasta is code for the sauce went everywhere, you know?
I don't know. I would like you to cite your sources, please, ma'am.
Remember being a waffle versus being spaghetti?
I don't. You're saying that like it was something I should know.
Because like Knox, you're a waffle. It's very compartmentalized. And I'm
not participating because I don't know what this is. I don't know what this means. So I'm not going to play this game.
And next, we'll do MandyChris_66. In my third or fourth year of teaching, I convinced all of my 10th graders that I grew up Amish and left the community to become a teacher. I had a whole backstory down to the name of my favorite horse. I didn't actually grow up Amish. I just needed a reason for them to stop trying to find me on social media. The next year, I had a class of 12th graders. And when they asked why I hadn't gone to my high school prom, I told them dancing wasn't allowed in the town I grew up in, and then told them the whole plot of Footloose as it happened to me.
Okay, I love all of this. I'm trying to decide if I'm more impressed with this or the teacher who went hard in the paint for like OJ is innocent and I've won, because it's a frozen take now to be like I was pro for OJ, but in the moment I felt like it was very reasonable.
It was like finally justice for a horrific judicial system that always tried to frame the wrong person.
Those gloves didn't fit. It feels like we should have quit. I blame Cato Kaelin. I feel like when Cato Kaelin got in the mix, everyone was like, "What is this? What's happening here? It got very disorienting after him.
Yeah, it did. I like this witness protection vibe in a teacher.
Yes.
Like, I'm just going to keep you guessing about my I actually loved trying to figure out the... And see, I had to do it back in the day where there was no... I could find you now. I could find I could find your house on Zillow. But it was weird to not know. And then, like, it was like Mean Girls. When you would see a teacher out in the wild...
Oh, my gosh.
You'd be like, are you eating yeast rolls at this Quincy's? This is crazy.
Again, what? With emphasis on the yeast. I just don't think that's part of the marketing. You know?
No, yeast makes them better.
I understand the ingredients, but I just don't know that anyone would be like, let's focus on the yeast of it all. Let's really build around yeast, you know? Let's make that the quarterback of the whole menu.
Listen, I don't think people should have a problem with yeast. I'm just saying.
I don't have a problem with yeast. But I don't think people should have issues with scrotums either, but I'm not leading with the scrotum, you know? It's just like a part of life.
Who wants a scrotum roll? Nobody wants that.
You don't know that. Don't knock it until you tried it, you know?
If you want a scrotum roll, make sure you go to our Instagram and post that in our comments on this episode post.
Do you think scrotum roll is taken as a username, A, and then B, could be a good band name? I think it could be both.
Scrotum roll. What? You think it's jazz? Or is it punk?
Like, I'm not going to put limits on the music. You know, I'm just going to let the music be what it is. I like this. I would like to normalize teachers retaining their privacy and adopting plots of movies as their life story. I have a couple here. I want to see if you guys can team up and maybe guess the movie that I'm summarizing here. All right. So you just tell your class, you're like, I was homeschooled by a domineering father, but I like to collect things. This was a source of tension between us. So I had to seek out my aunt for help. And she found a way to help me try a different life out for a weekend. But she also gave me laryngitis because that's contagious in this situation. But I met my future husband and it all worked out.
I know it.
I don't know it.
What? Erin.
What is it? My aunt?
The Little Mermaid.
Oh, laryngitis.
Did Erin guess my aunt?
She asked about she was like, my aunt. Who is the aunt?
The aunt threw me off.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay. That was what threw you off?
Yeah. And the homeschooled. I don't consider Ariel to be homeschooled.
Where'd she go?
She went to Sebastian's school.
No. Okay. That's a tutor. That's in her home and homeschooled.
No. They swim to a different grotto.
That's
and
a
she
suspicious
goes to
tutor.
A fine arts school.
That's a Lifetime movie tutor.
No,
that's
she,
what it is.
She goes to a fine arts school, essentially.
Oh, it's very free range. When she almost gets attacked by the shark, she should have been in school and that wouldn't have been a problem.
That's
her,
what I'm saying. It's a real school.
She's really fact-checking you on this.
You know what, Erin, you win. I think you win. You took that round.
She does not like to lose. That's where this is coming from.
Thank you so much.
I'm thinking there's no way either of you know the summary for Over the Top, 1987, the Sylvester Stallone movie. So I'm just going to skip that one.
Oh, okay. Good call.
Basically, he's a truck driver who arm wrestles on the side, and he has to go to arm wrestling championship. No, on the side. I literally sat on the side, Jamie. He's a truck driver, arm wrestles on the side.
But it makes it sound like it's a side gig.
It is. It is. The arm wrestling championship.
That's what a job is. A gig is a job.
I don't know how else I could have been clear that it's a side gig.
He literally said it.
I know, but I'm saying that's a job. And he's like, no, it's on the side.
No, he goes to the arm wrestling championships to win $100,000 and 100,000 pounds of yeast to use at his discretion. Very realistic.
He makes them rolls.
What could he do with all that?
He's going to start a Quincy's franchise.
Exactly. And that's how Quincy's got started. I'll do this one. Decided to get into teaching after being in all-day detention one Saturday with a brain, an athlete, a basket case, a princess, and a criminal.
I know
Erin,
this
can you
one.
Name that movie?
This is the one where Breakfast Club.
Yay! There you go! Very good. Do you know why Emilio Estevez's character is in detention in The Breakfast Club?
Because he did bad at football.
No, I think he's a wrestler. I don't know if he plays football. He taped Larry Lester's butt cheeks together, which I just feel like is an insane thing to get attention for.
Well, that's why I shouldn't have gotten paddled for not napping.
I agree. You didn't nap.
Emilio Estevez should have gotten paddled for taping someone's butt cheeks.
Yeah.
Why are we taping butt cheeks together? They're already like smashed together. Like, I don't know what you're accomplishing. Like, if you tape them apart, that's interesting.
Do you think it's because of what happens to the front of you when you tape your butt together?
Tell me more, Aaron. What do you think happens to the front of Larry Lester?
Well, if he's wrapping it around and not, you know, like tearing off individual pieces, then right. You've got a situation in the front.
Okay. No, okay. I hadn't thought about this because I think I thought it was geolocated to only the back. But if this was like he taped his diglet down, I feel like that would have been cited as like he taped, you know, his scrotum
but
to his leg.
But that was probably too spicy for 80s.
Maybe not spicy enough. I don't know. Jamie, thoughts on taping the front parts? What'd you just do? Why'd you go?
I killed a gnat on my computer. It's gross.
Oh, no.
I know.
But I mean, I think you keep it there and let them all know. But like, hey, this is how we get
down
here.
That's why we think they've gotten aggressive, because we have this graveyard of gnats and they're mad.
No.
I say you take down your front parts if they bother you. Do what you want.
Yeah, that's good. Jason, keep that. That's a very organic segue back in. Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/podcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/podcast.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the brushed rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pair sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code POP.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
KT Pennington said, in third grade, my teacher started us on the wrong day of our state standardized testing, then threatened us with lunch detention if we told anyone. The next day, I was called into the principal's office and asked, what happened? So I told. 2 days later, she sat us all down in a circle and told us, quote, some little birdie, staring at me, had told the office, and she'd been fired. So I got my third grade teacher fired at 10, and I've never felt more powerful.
This makes me really laugh, because I know it's probably a very easy mistake to make. Of just starting you on the entire wrong day of standardized testing.
How is that? How is that even humanly possible? Like, you're a good teacher? What?
I feel like I would definitely do that, to be honest with you. So I'm like, there's no shade there, but just to not have your life together to the point where you're on a different day, I think that's interesting. I think the question we should ask is KT Pennington a narc by the definition?
Oh, this is how snitches are born. This is what this story is. This is a snitch origin story.
Because like, I don't understand. So the principal, you mentioned witness protection. Principal's not giving out witness protection. So the principal's like, hey, what happened? And also, teacher, I'm firing you because KT said that you started on Thursday and it's this Wednesday. So
did the teacher get fired for doing the test on the wrong day? Or did the teacher get fired because she threatened the children with detention if they told the truth?
Option C, I think this is probably the veritable straw that broke the camel's back. I don't think this was the first problem. Oh. I think this is probably number 12 on the long
list. This teacher's selling drugs in the parking lot to hall monitors.
I don't know that she has her stuff together, you know, to be able to sell drugs.
So, but we don't want to steal this from you, KT. We want you to feel the power that you felt at 10 years old that you got this done.
Can I – two more questions. Why did the principal need to do man-on-the-street interviews for what happened – on the standardized testing, because it feels like it'd be pretty obvious that like, oh, they did the wrong day. I don't need
kids to
verify.
Yeah, they did the wrong day. What did the teacher possibly say in her interview to say,
well, the teacher's like, we got robbed and they only took the standardized tests. And so we're going to have to start over now. That's the problem.
Yeah, I don't understand this.
Also, why is KT Pennington 10 in third grade? That's not real, is it?
No, wait. Yeah, you're 6 in the first grade.
I've got a fourth grader and she's 9.
Marlo is in fifth grade and she's 10.
How old will Cy be in kindergarten?
He's 5.
And how old will he be in a month?
He'll be 6.
I don't know. Yeah.
Math is not their strong suit.
I want to jump in there and help because I was terrified of you asking me questions about how old my kids will be in a certain amount of years because I'm
so like for Erin, her child will be 7 in the first grade for most of it, 8 for most of second. 9 for most of third. So it does feel like somebody, KT, you get
I was 10 turning 11 in fourth grade, and I have a December birthday. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
So it sounds like, KT, that you were able to be a good witness because you have been held back a year and you'd seen some things.
I feel like this, maybe KT Pennington was like legitimately a narc. Like there's a 21 Jump Street situation.
Oh, maybe you know? So. I might like that better, even better. Okay. Up next, we have Bye Cat P. Wait, I can't be right. Bye cat pie. Is that what you think that is?
It's definitely not pee, but I do. I want to embrace and celebrate any pronunciation.
How do you know? It might be Jane or it might be Janny. Okay, Bye Cat Pie said, my sixth grade teacher, who was a professional clown, but that's not the story, had pet rats running around the classroom that he was emotionally attached to. One day, a student scooted back in his chair, not thinking to look for rodents, and it injured the rat. My teacher cried and made us have a funeral for the rat where he dug a hole, pulled out a 45mm handgun, and shot the rat into oblivion. I should mention this was a Christian private school shaped like a cross.
So.
Guess what? We already knew it was shaped like a cross. Because
yeah.
If a teacher has a 45mm in the classroom, then we knew. We knew.
By cat pie or pee or however you pronounce it. I don't know if you know this or like if you knew this in the moment, but with the benefit of hindsight, your sixth grade teacher had some real intense issues going on at that point in his life, you know?
It sounds like to me that Cat P lived somewhere where maybe you just didn't have the best selection.
Do we
want to
bet? Do we want to bet where this Christian school shaped like a cross exists in that normalizes rats and handguns in the classroom?
I feel like it's an easy peasy Texas. No,
I mean I'm gonna put Florida right there.
Florida
feels too
interesting.
Obvious.
We don't know. So I'm gonna guess Texas.
Erin, do you have a guess?
Or Louisiana?
I'm trying to find out.
There's no chance it's in the South. It's not in the South, right? My seventh grade homeroom teacher, he like never actually showed up. They had to replace him day one. And it was because he had an emotional breakdown while roller skating. And it was like, I think there's no group of kids, I feel like, more ready to embrace that. Not like helpfully, But we're just in middle school. You're so self-centered. You're like, oh yeah, Mr. So-so got like a mental breakdown when he was roller skating. Okay, cool, whatever. Like back to me, you know.
You know, if I'm gonna have a minty bee, I do want it to be on roller skates. Like that's a cooler story than I had a minty bee in my Volvo at a traffic light. Like that's a
sure.
sad.
That's not a very sad fun story. At all.
No,
that's very.
But if
basic.
I was like, well, I had an anxiety attack and crumbled under the weight of the world, and while I was rollerblading to go get tacos, like that's a lovely story.
I think I also want to say like. The fact that the guy was a professional clown, but in no way did that actually factor in the story. And what that means is like, this guy has two massive personal footnotes about himself. One of which him being a professional clown, and that didn't make final cut on this story. That just didn't factor into that part
well,
of the story.
And listen, I'm telling you, this guy was lucky he didn't live during Yelp reviews, because I promise you, if somebody brought a professional clown to their kid's birthday party and then they found out later they had pet rats, they're not going to be cool with it. Like they're not.
Depends on what part of Florida you're in. That might be like a thing, you know.
Orlando, yeah.
I don't know. I'm gonna quibble with the word use by Cat P, because I don't think they had a funeral for the rat. I think they had a ritualized mercy murder, because you can't like have a funeral and the thing's still alive and then put it in the grave and then shoot it with a gun. That's not how funerals work, guys. I know, Jamie, you don't like funerals. That is not how funerals work.
Yeah,
I can't confirm.
This is the order. Made us have a funeral. Mm-hmm. Where he dug a hole, pulled out a gun, shot the rat into oblivion. What's going in the hole?
I mean, the rat's in the hole when he shoots him, right?
Oh,
that's an in media res murder.
I don't understand executions.
It's okay.
Like that.
It's okay. Yeah, it's weird. Like it. It's weird. You know, I looked up what, like, because I was like, what makes a professional clown versus just a regular clown, like an amateur clown, you know? And on the internet, there's not like, you don't have a license or anything. There's some clown finishing schools, but it's not like legit or anything. So I read the definition, because someone on Google asked like, what makes a clown a clown? And I was like, that's really existential. I wanted the answer to that. And it says, a clown is a person who performs comedy and arts in a state of open-mindedness, using physical comedy, typically while wearing distinct makeup or costuming and reversing folkway norms. And I thought, are we clowns? Is this when we realize we're kind of clowns? Because I think
like,
we are.
But without the rats.
No rats, though. We wouldn't murder
we're
a rat.
We're cool clowns. We're cool clowns. We're not like other clowns. We're
That's
cool
right.
clowns.
That's right. Okay, well, that is our conversation on the nose of teachers. If you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know. NoxGM.com/519. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right, what is your red light this week?
Okay, so I have two. So the first is we collectively as a company, we want to red light ourselves. In a recent episode, we used a term that is derogatory to the indigenous community, which we were unaware of. And listeners almost all kindly corrected us, especially our indigenous listeners. They reached out. They were so lovely in educating us. We deleted it from the episode. Jason, he deleted it from the episode that very
That's right.
night it was published. And we just want to apologize. We didn't know. That's not an excuse. That's just a heads up. We didn't know. And now we will never use that term again. And we're so sorry that we did, because we were yeah. unaware. And we're so glad that you told us. Because just like, again, like Maya Angelou and Rachel Hollis say, when you know better, you do better. And that's
right.
What we
I didn't know
do.
We can't have rats in the class. Now I won't have rats in the class. That kind of situation.
I know. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So. And that was my fault. Even in the moment we were talking about it, I made a note. I was like, check in on this to make sure this is okay, because I can see how this could not be okay.
Right.
And then I just never checked in on it. So that's my bad.
Well, you know, we didn't know. And so now we know, and we won't use that term again. So that's a
right.
promise. So, but my other red light, which is completely different, because it is about me seeing a penis unsolicited this weekend.
Okay.
So I had a medical emergency. I tell that full story on The More You Know this week. And as part of that story, I did want to let you know that I was at the ER and I needed to go. So when you go to the ER, often you have to do a urine test, but there's not like, you know, if you can get up, they want you to get up and go to the one person bathroom that's in the hall. And it was
right.
directly across the hall. So I had already done my pee test, but because I had drank so much water to try to pee, I needed to go back to the bathroom. And I opened the door. My best friend was with me in this ER room. And I said, oh, somebody's in there. And so I held the door and then I heard the door click and I was like, oh no, they're coming out. I'll be back. And I came out and a man stepped out into the hall. So this wasn't me looking into the bathroom.
Hall, the waiting room, or just like a hallway?
Hallway, like the hallway.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And so he steps out into the hallway. He does not have a shirt on.
Okay.
His jeans are about halfway down his tuchus.
Okay.
And his diglet is out.
Okay, when you tease this, I thought it was like there's going to be a gown situation, and I feel like gowns, they're real willy-nilly. Like, you exactly. don't know what's going to be flowing where, exactly. so that's not his fault. But what you're describing is like basically he flashed you.
That's right. And then he tucked it back in and zipped up his pants, and he was like, hey. And then he walked down the hall. Now, I was like, what just happened to me? It wasn't that it was traumatic. It was just like unexpected, you know? Okay. I didn't like it, but like – it was fine. I go into the bathroom. His gown is on the counter, as okay. is his ID bracelet that right. he has now taken off. So I assume that that's the last anyone saw him in that.
Definitely not a fugitive. You didn't see fugitive Diglett. I can confirm.
Well, I kept thinking, like, why did he have pants on if he didn't have a shirt on? But then I was like, oh, because he didn't have underwear on. So yeah. he probably was like, I can't walk out of here completely naked.
Sure. That'd be weird.
That would be super weird.
So. I mean, just as a testament to some guys being dudes, you know, the fact that he was like, I've walked out here with my penis out.
Right.
This woman has seen it. We've made eye contact.
Yeah.
And then he like zipped himself up and got decent. And then he was like, hey, what's up? Should we do something? Like, I mean, I'm not saying good job by him, but I'm like, men and their hubris and their ability to talk themselves into anything remains undefeated, I think.
I know. It's like, and especially because, do you think he was white? Yeah. Yeah, he was. Of course he was. White blonde man. You can never trust them. You can never trust them. Okay. What's your red light?
My red light is, I think, Variety and Hollywood Reporter. There's a lot of pieces coming out right now that's like the 40-ish most important people in podcasting right now.
What?
And we didn't make it. We didn't even make it. We didn't get a call. We didn't get an email.
I'm so weird to you right now. If I read that list and even half of them are celebrities, I will riot in the streets.
Well, get your riot gear out because number two is Smartless. They're out there in the streets being very important, you know, and it's a lot of the same people that you've always thought. But some people I haven't. And I was like, okay, it's good to know this person. But it just kind of made me sad.
Yeah, I want to know indie shows. It is not okay. Because what I'm saying is, guys, I don't hate celebrity podcasts just to hate celebrity podcasts.
I do. I hate them just to hate them.
But I want to acknowledge, and I want them to acknowledge, hey, I started on third base in podcasting.
Yeah.
Some of you had to order the cheapest mic you could find, and then you still couldn't afford it, so you bought it on eBay. The first mic I ever owned was a Snowball, and I bought it on eBay so I could save half the price because that was all I could afford to try to
podcast. If you haven't had a Snowball or a used Blue Yeti, please get out of my face with your
face. That's exactly right. Those are the real, y'all are the real deal if you've done it that way. And so that's my problem with celebrities. And the idea that like Smartless, because it has a lot of downloads, but did they acknowledge in the article that none of the hosts of Smartless know how to talk to a person of color? Did they acknowledge that?
I'll go back and look. I don't think they did, but that feels like a thing.
If you want to listen to them talk to Oscar winner Octavia Spencer and be awkwarded out like unlike anything you've ever experienced, I do encourage you to listen to that episode.
Yeah, I don't know that that would make the story, but I don't know. I skimmed it.
And I love Sean Hayes. Like, if I could keep one of them, it would be Sean Hayes. I love him desperately.
I don't know if you guys know this. College football is back this weekend. It's back. This weekend? Yep. It's coming back. Not a lot of good games, but it's back. That means gambling on college football is back. That means later this week on Over-Underachievers, Jason and I preview college football, talk about all the ways we're going to lose money.
Yay!
And just spoiler alert, if you like Duke, UNC, Minnesota, Mississippi State, or Oklahoma, I think your season's going to be trash, and I'm betting on it. But if you like Auburn, Vandy, Illinois, or Texas A&M, I think you might be in for some goodness, you know? And I might be betting on that,
giving
too.
Melanie Schenkel some hope. Listen,
that's right.
Okay, when y'all gamble like on football, do you or Jason tend to make more money?
Are you trying to pit us against each other and like make us compete right now?
Not even more money. Who gets more bets correct? What it's called? Getting them right?
Yeah, I mean, we probably could use a gambling teacher here, you know? That would probably help.
Oh, my God, do you want me to be your gambling teacher?
Do you want a gambling teacher right now? I would say Jason is more consistent, and I really only limit myself to certain seasons of gambling, and I take bigger swings.
Oh, I got it.
But I'm more infrequent, but Jason is much more consistent and reasonable in his gambling. So,
okay. Yeah.
So learn more later this week on Over Underachievers. Jamie, what's your green light this week?
Okay, before my green light, we have a live show in Austin on September 2nd, and we just opened up another block of tickets, and we're posting the giveaway post on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Central. Simply comment or reply on those posts. to enter to win. We have some tickets that opened up and we want to give them away to people that maybe you were on the fence. Maybe you were like, I can't really afford to go this time. We want to make it so that some of you can go that maybe could not. But my green light is a book. Oh, you guys, you're not ready. I love this book so much. The book is called Knockout by Sarah McLean. It's a historical romance, but it is not your mom's bodice ripper, although bodices are ripped. It is open door. This is a story of Imogen Loveless. I freaking love the name Imogen. Erin, do you like the name Imogen?
I like it.
I know, me too. So Imogen Loveless, she is, she's a lady. She's into explosives. She's problematic. She's peculiar. She's an odd woman out in the circles of high society London. And her family is trying to get her in line. And so they hire a bodyguard to really just keep tabs on her. And he's a detective at Scotland Yard, and he kind of does a side gig, which now I understand what side gigs are, their jobs. And he takes a side gig of keeping track of her. But he doesn't have time for this. He has a proper job. He doesn't care about this lady's like chaos. But something happens, and there's a little bit of mystery. There's a little bit of a thriller. The thing I love about Sarah, as somebody who's read a lot of romance novels, like contemporary Emily Henry's and then Tessa Dare and all kinds of folks, I would say Sarah writes really excellent, smart, and witty dialogue. She has a weight to her writing that I think a lot of romance writers don't have, which is why they can put out books so quickly. If you like Miss Scarlet and the Duke on PBS, which, Erin, I think you would really like Miss Scarlet and the Duke on PBS.
What's it about?
Miss Scarlet is a detective in, like, I guess, I don't know when time is, 1800s England?
Okay, before and guns were made, right?
Right, as we all know. Exactly. Yeah. And then the Duke, he works for, you know, the, I guess, Scotland Yard too. It's everybody's Scotland Yard. Anyway, and they have like a tension, and it's really nice, and it's very lovely, but it's very like Britishy and, you know, reserved, but like you can feel it on the edge. So
okay, I like it.
I know. So if you like Sarah McLean, if you like this book, you read it and you like it, her Love by the Number series is my favorite, but this one is top notch. It just came out this week. It's excellent. So what's your green light?
My green light is the novel Demon Copperhead by Barbara Kingsolver. I downloaded this a couple months ago and then never started it. And a handful of people, especially after we talked about Tyler Childers, were like, man, you really need to listen to that. So prompted by them, I went ahead and dove in. And I'd seen like, it, you know, bestseller, huge deal, really great reviews. And, I don't know why, but I've never read Barbara Kingsolver. Like at all?
Yeah, just I had
never
not either.
Interacted, yeah. Intersected with what she's written. I always remember seeing the Poisonwood Bible and just being like, oh, I don't think I want to read that. And I don't even know what it's about, but I just didn't want to. But this might be a hot take. She's a good writer. She's really good at writing. And she's written a lot of books. This book is absolutely electric. It's one of the most vivid voices I've read in a long time. It tells the story of the main character. It's a kid nicknamed Demon Copperhead, but it's set in Appalachia, where we both are residents, probably you more so than me,
yep.
Some people would say.
Yes.
But it's a kid, Demon Copperhead. He's born to a single mom in a trailer, and his father's already passed away by the time he's born. But he basically goes through foster care, deals with drug issues, deals with families not wanting him, overdoses, the horrors of some corners of the foster care system, a small town. I think it's set in like Lee County, where it's just really rural and there's a lot of poverty. And it's one of those, you know, I think in a lot of ways, and I think Barbara Kingsolver talks about this in the book by way of the narrator, you don't really get a lot of like hope or humanity with Appalachia. A lot.
Right.
It's really kind of beat down and made fun of. But this is a, you know, there's a lot of allusions. I think there's an apt comparison to David Copperfield, like Dickens, David Copperfield in the story follows the same kind of beats. But I feel like this is one of those that really leans in and embraces the southernness of it all, while also acknowledging like the opioid epidemic happened here. No one really cared. And it just kind of left everybody else to deal with picking up the pieces. So it also, kind of sends up some of the problems with the Deep South in Appalachia, but it also honors it and respects it. And for some people who want to be better and want to live a better life and don't want to be encumbered with all the stereotypes that the larger world often puts upon us, I'd absolutely love this. I listened to the audio version and Charlie Thurston read it. I'd never listened to anything he'd done, but man, he's got a great voice, perfect for this kind of book and this kind of story. So I highly recommend.
I bought this book because of the cover, like originally, because the I think I probably did
when I downloaded it. Yeah. I think that's why I ended up doing it. But and it is not. It
and it won the Pulitzer. So this is an excellent choice. So.
Really, really, really excellent book. So I highly recommend everybody checks that out. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And before you go, remember, anytime you do any shopping on Amazon, make sure to go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcast first. So your purchase or affiliate link, affiliate item purchase using that link this week was, Jamie, this is 1 pound of strawberries.
I cannot get over people just ordering fruit from Amazon. I love it.
Do it. Yeah.
This has 76,000 ratings, 4.6 stars. But let me tell you, I dug into these questions and my favorite questions were all answered by the same person, Marlene from Los Angeles, California.
Okay.
First question, how do I order fresh products? Marlene answered, add to your cart and then check out. Question, can I send to another address? Marlene answered, yes. Do employees pay membership fees? Marlene said, I don't know. I'm not an employee. Listen, and the best part of Marlene, when I went and looked at her account, she doesn't like anything she's ever purchased on, except she gave 1 5-star review to her compression socks. And guess what? Aaron, they're the compression socks that we have.
No way.
I know. She watched Succession too. She was like, I need some compression socks.
I need some compression socks. All right, you guys. Don't forget, we have a giveaway for tickets on our Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook posting on Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central, and it will be open for entries until Thursday at 8 p.m. Central. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on the socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.